535, page 535 in my Bible, but it's probably different than yours. What I said, Old Testament, Second Chronicles. Robin, Second Chronicles, chapter 12. You can do it. You can do it, Robin. Second Chronicles, chapter 12. I was kidding, Robin, when I said Genesis, Second Chronicles, Revelation. If you don't know my kidding by now, I know it's sick. I know, Kathy, I know. I get rebuked all the time for my kidding.
That was a good one, Brenda.
Yeah. Is that really what it is? Keep me humble or what? Why do snakes get in my path? When I'm walking, why do snakes come in my path? Why do they scurry away when they see me? Of course, I'm running faster away from them than they're scared of me. I'm saying, whoa. I was in their territory the other day, apparently. All right, Second Chronicles 12. Let's try to get serious. All right, I'll try to get serious. If you try to get serious, we'll all try to get serious. And we'll get through this message. Can we do that? Okay. All right. I'll be nice, Robin. You be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. No, I'll be nice to you even if you're not nice to me. How's that? All right. Second Chronicles 12. I'm just going to read some of this. I might read the whole chapter. So just, you don't have to read out loud. I'm going to read out loud and do a little commenting as I go. So just follow along. Second Chronicles. Everybody there? It's not Second Corinthians. It's Chronicles, Old Testament. Second Chronicles. Chapter 12, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established a kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Leadership can be either good or bad. Amen. A good leader is going to lead properly and right. There were good kings in Judah. There were good kings in Israel. Before the land split, this is where the land is splitting. This is where the nation is splitting. But there were good kings that led the nation right. But again, leadership can be either good or bad. In Washington, D.C., leadership can either be good or it can be bad. And that's the way it goes. Whoever's in charge, that's the way it's going to end up going. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. With 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubims, the Sukkims, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah, the prophet, to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Great things can happen when you humble yourself. And even in this situation, Rehoboam was not considered a good king. But when they humbled themselves, that got God's attention. And God said, I've underlined those two words, some deliverance. Did you notice those two words? Some deliverance. I'll give them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all, he carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard and kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned, for Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah his son reigned in his stead. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together today. It's good to be in church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to have a copy of the Word of God. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for this. We pray now that you bless and move in a great and mighty way, Lord, upon us. We pray that you would just work and move upon each and every one today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I lost my contact here and I'm trying to get it back. I didn't. He lost me. Okay. Here in this story, as we see, many of you probably know the story between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a servant under King Solomon. He was one of the wisest men in all the world ever, other than Jesus Christ. And during this time, Rehoboam left this area and went down to Egypt for a little while because of fear of Solomon and his son Rehoboam. Well, he comes back, and this is not the message, but he comes back, and he has a confrontation with Rehoboam. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. Jeroboam, it's hard to keep those two separate, but Jeroboam was just a servant under Solomon. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. So Rehoboam is entitled to the throne. He's entitled to rule over Israel at this time. Remember, King Saul was the first king, then David comes along, and then Solomon, David's son, now is the third one, and Rehoboam is now the fourth king. Jeroboam comes to Rehoboam and says, listen, and he brings a bunch of people with him, and he says, listen, your father really was tough on his servants. And if you would just kind of loosen up a little bit and lighten up a little bit on the servants, this is all we're asking for, that you do that for us. And so Rehoboam says, well, give me 3 days and I'll think about it. And so they all left and went away. And so Rehoboam, he gets counsel from the older men, the wiser men that literally served with his father Solomon. And they said, you know what, that's the way to do it. Lighten up a little bit on the service to the people. Don't put so much on them, and they will serve you forever. They'll always be with you. And Rehoboam went to the guys that he was brought up with, of his own age, the Bible says, and he went to them and he sought the same kind of counsel. And they said, no, don't do that. Be tougher on them. Be stronger on them. And so Rehoboam took the advice of the younger instead of the advice of the older, wiser men. And when Jeroboam came back after 3 days, Rehoboam says, no, it's going to be tougher with me. And so Jeroboam says, fine, if that's the way you want it. Jeroboam leaves, and literally he leads 10 of the 12 tribes after him, and he becomes the king of the 10 northern tribes. And Rehoboam becomes the king of the 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And so the nation Israel, the tribes of Israel, were split during this particular time. It's all because, I know it was of God, the Bible does say that, but Rehoboam was not a good leader. He could have kept that nation together if he had just thought about the way that he directed his response to Jeroboam. If he had listened to the wiser instead of the younger, I'm not saying young don't have wisdom, but listen, folks, young people, people older than you always are wiser than you, like it or not. I realized how smart my parents were when I grew up and became a parent myself. I realized my parents knew what they were talking about. That whole teenage year that I was going through, my teenage years, my parents knew what they were talking about. Now, I thought I was wiser. Most teenagers that get a little rebellious think that they're wiser, but My parents were smarter than I thought they were. Even went back to them after that whole thing and told them and thanked them for the way they raised me and thanked them for their wisdom. And I told them, I says, you know what, I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. But we all think we're pretty smart when we're younger, but the wiser, the older, they always seem to have a lot more wisdom. They've been around longer. They've been through things longer. It gives them a lot more wisdom. The king of Egypt comes and takes the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house to himself. Shishak, the Pharaoh, or the king of Egypt, comes in and devastates the entire area and literally just takes all of the treasures from the temple and also the king's house for himself. It's interesting that he took these things called the shields of gold from the king's house, which Solomon made in verse 9. If you look at that again, verse 9. He takes the shields of gold. Now, those shields of gold, they were the shields that were the mark of the king's bodyguards. Those shields of gold, however large they were, literally showed the strength and the power of the king. Those shields of gold. They resembled power. They resembled strength. And obviously gold is a very precious metal, one of the most precious, probably the most precious metal in all the world. But in verse 10, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of what? Brass. And committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard and that kept the entrance of the king's house. Is there a difference between gold and brass? Is there a big difference between gold and brass? Now you look at both of them, just glancing at them, they resemble one another, don't they? Brass does resemble gold. But you can tell the difference by a close examination. Brass, depends on the copper and the zinc that's in it, you can make it duller or you can make it brighter. Brass does resemble gold, but brass is nothing like gold. The difference between these two are quite different, obviously. I checked the price of gold on Friday. The price of gold per ounce on Friday was $1,749.73. Ounce. $1,749.73 on Friday was the price of gold per ounce. Brass came into a whopping $1.68 a pound on Friday. Wow. That's worth a lot of money. What would you rather own, gold or brass? Obviously, it's a no-brainer. Rehoboam was replacing the gold with a look-alike, but certainly not of the same value. Look, it resembled, let's make it look like the same thing, but it was far from the same thing. Do you know the enemy always tries to take away what is greater, of a greater value, and replace it with something of lesser value? It's exactly what the enemy always tries to do. The king of Egypt did just that. He took away the gold shields, and Rehoboam says, ooh, we got to replace these gold shields. Instead of remaking them out of gold, he made them out of brass. Maybe it was more prevalent there in those days, but it was not the same. It may have looked alike, but it was not the same. The title of the message today is what you have authentic or fake? Is what you have authentic, genuine, or is it fake? There's a lot of fakes in this world. There's a lot of fake things in the world. Ladies, you might own a fur, but it may not be a real fur. It may be a fake. There are fake furs and there are genuine furs, right? I mean, and maybe somebody with a trained eye could pick that out. There are fake watches. Go to New York City and you can buy some of the most expensive watches in the world right there, right? What are the watches that they always try to tell you that they have down there? Rolex. You know, open up the coat, Rolex. Would you like a Rolex? $15 Rolex. You can have it right now. Sure. Is it a real Rolex? Nah, it's a fake. It's a fake. There's fake money today. Counterfeit money. floating around, right? There are scams. I got a phone call the other day from the Social Security Department, which they never call. But I played along with this for a while. I just wanted to find out what the... And it was a foreign guy. So I knew... But, you know, he's going to, you know, your Social Security number has been flagged for, you know, inappropriate things and blah, 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 blah. I was waiting for him to ask me my Social Security number. But he never did. Halfway through the conversation, I got a click. He hung up on me. That's because I was asking him too many questions. He wasn't asking me enough. But he was asking me, telling me. I said, well, tell me about this. I'd like to know more about this. How come I haven't received anything in the mail? Because I understand that Social Security will only send things by the mail. They'll never call you. They only send things through the mail first. And he hummed and hawed, and he was starting to stutter like me right now. And so I'm asking him all of these questions, and all I got was a click. I wanted to play this thing out. I wanted to find out what this guy was all about, or what they were trying to get. I was just waiting for him to ask me for my Social Security number. Do you think I was going to give it to him?
No.
Of course not. I was going to give him 9999999999. I just wanted to play along with the guy for a while, just to have a little fun with him and give him the gospel at the end, but he didn't even let me give a chance to do that. How many times do you get a phone call that your vehicle warranty is... Oh, I get those every day. I get them all the time. Troy got one the... A few weeks ago, Troy, where are you, Troy? Allison, she doesn't even drive, and she gets, your car warranties. This is crazy. I mean, the scams, these are, huh? Oh, yeah, it's all kinds of fake. Donald Trump used to say, fake news. Oh, look at that, fake news, man. He used to do that. It was just hilarious. But photos are fake, right, Doug? Doug gave me some fake photos not long ago. I've got one in my office. He actually did it with the sign. It says, vote for Joe Biden. It looks just like I put that on the sign. It's a fake. It wasn't a real thing. His whole theme with the last senior dinner we had was about this whole subject. Is it real or is it fake? It's kind of, this is a spinoff of what you preached in. But yeah, but I'm doing a little different than what you did. So photos, you can Photoshop anything. I've asked, can you Photoshop me some hair, please? Yeah. Next photo. Will you give me some hair the next time you do it? Okay. All right.
Boy, that could be dangerous.
That could be. It could be. Yeah. I asked for it. I'll get it now. But there's fake hair today. Right? There's fake hair. Now, ladies, please don't get mad at me, but some of you, this is not your real hair. It's colored. It's colored. It's not the real. It's fake. Or, you know, sometimes we might wear a toupee or a wig or whatever. So hair cannot be true. Ladies, expensive handbags. What's a lady? I don't know these things, but Coach or Gucci or Gotcha Gucci. So Coach, Gucci, whatever some of those things are. There's fake ones out there. Jewelry can be fake, right? This is a real ring, and after a while it gets green underneath that, right? Nah, that's a fake. It's a fake. Ladies, look at your finger once in a while see if you got a fake one or a real one. Jewelry can be fake. There's even something that kind of bothers me, but I've had it, and it's not bad. Fake apple pie. Have you ever had fake apple pie? It's really not that bad. It's made out of different things, but the ones we had was made out of Ritz crackers. Anybody have it made out of Ritz? Where did you get your fake apple pie? Ritz. Okay. How about you, Sarah? Zucchini. Well, make me one. All right. I'm just kidding. You don't have to make it. But there's fake apple pie. Have you had it? Fake apple pie. Yep. Apple pie. Kathy, what? One of your grandmothers used to make it. Which one? Grandma Liscombe used to make it. And when I took a bite of that thing, I thought they were kidding me. You wouldn't know it's fake apple pie. But it was a fake. There wasn't a piece of apple in it. Don't call it an apple pie if it isn't an apple pie. Call it a Ritz pie. Call it a zucchini pie. Call it something. Don't call it an apple pie because you get my hopes up when I eat an apple pie. There are fake paintings today, right? There are paintings that are fake. You know, they sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars. There are fake musical instruments today. Ah, Stradivarius or one of the, you know, things that, and it's fake. Fake what? Okay. Yeah. Didn't think about that one, but she did. Fake eyeballs. Yep, there's fake eyeballs. Hey, ladies, there's fake eyelashes. Now we're on a roll here. Fake eyelashes. Fake nails. Ladies, how many of you are wearing fake nails? Yeah, some of you are. There's all kinds of fake things. Fake teeth. There we go. TJ works for Bonadent. Fake teeth, right? Not the real stuff. Let me give you three things today that we'll see if it's authentic or fake. Number one, salvation. Salvation. Is your salvation authentic or is it fake? There's only one way to go to heaven, according to the Bible. We know the verses, but I'm just going to turn to them and I'm going to read John 14. John chapter 14 is what you are trusting to get you to heaven. Is it real? Is it authentic? Is it genuine? Or is it a fake? Now, maybe you're sitting there saying, well, no, not my salvation. It's real. Well, and I hope and pray that it is. And I would hope and pray in a room like this that most of you have been coming to this church for a while, or you go to another good Bible preaching church, then your salvation, I'm sure, is real. It's authentic. But there are some fake salvations out there today. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, listen to these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man, nobody. No man, no woman, no child, nobody can get to heaven based upon what they think is the way to heaven. Go back a few pages or a few chapters to John chapter 3. We sang that song just a little while ago. Ye must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. True or false? Authentic or fake? You've got to be saved. You've got to be born again. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a lot of people thinking they're saved by working their way into heaven. A lot of people thinking they're going to heaven because they do good things. They help people. They attend church once in a while. They might attend church every single week. They might attend church every single day. You can go to church every day, and it's not going to get you to heaven. You can be baptized 1,000 times and it's not going to do a thing for you to get you into heaven. You must be born again. Jesus didn't say you must be baptized. You must be born again. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Says Salvation is not through a church. Amen. Salvation is not through a pastor, a preacher, a priest, the Pope, somebody else. Salvation does not come through another human being other than Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's a broad road, and many people are on the broad road today, and there's a narrow road, and it's one way to get to heaven, one way to get to God, and that's narrow, Jesus said. And there's not a whole lot of people on the narrow way. A lot of people on the broad way. There's a lot of people out there thinking that they're okay, thinking that they're saved, thinking that I'll just make matters. I'll take care of my eternal destiny, but just before I die. Well, that would be wonderful if you knew exactly when you're going to die. But most people have no clue when they're going to die. All right, you might be given, I got, 6 months to live or 3 months to live or whatever. But even then, you don't know the exact day and time and the hour that you're going to die. Salvation. Is what you have authentic or is it fake? Do you know for sure? If you were to die today, let's say today was the day that God says, you have an appointment with me, would you meet God? Amos says, prepare to meet thy God. You are not guaranteed, really, another second after the one you just went by. You're not guaranteed another day. Any one of us in this room, we could die just like that. Any one of us, young or old, it doesn't matter what age, death does not discriminate against age. Death does not discriminate against color or anything else. All human beings die. Someday. Someday. So, the question is, do you have an authentic salvation? Was there a time in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ and Him only to save your soul? You admitted that you were a sinner. You admitted and you said, yes, Lord, I believe that you died for me on the cross. Yes, Lord, I believe in your death, your burial, your resurrection. Yes, Lord, I believe that you can save my soul. And Lord, the best way I know how, I'm calling upon you to save me right now. Was there ever a time in your life that you repented and turned to Jesus Christ and Him only for salvation? If you did, you have authentic salvation. If you're trusting the church, you're trusting a person, you're trusting a baptism, you're trusting works, you're trusting just because you're a good person, that's fake salvation. It's fake. And if you don't get it right, someday you'll die and you'll go to hell. I hate to say that, but that's the truth according to the Scriptures. I read a moment ago from Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it's not by works of righteousness. All right, that's another verse, but I'm saying we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. A gift. You don't work for a gift. A gift comes freely. Jesus Christ is also the only mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Again, we're still on the first point, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, Jesus is the only mediator. He's the only way for salvation, but He's also our only mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There are not several mediators that go between us and God. You don't need an angel. You don't need, let me throw this out. You don't need Mary. You don't need a saint. You don't need an angel. You don't need a priest, a pastor, the Pope. You don't need any of that. All you need, Jesus Christ is who we talk to. Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's the one that is listening to us. He's the one that we pray to. He's the one that hears our prayers and answers our prayers. He's the one. He's our mediator. He's the only one. Again, it's not through a church or not through anything else. Your salvation is determined whether is it authentic or is it fake? Is it gold or is it brass? Is it a look-alike? I hope your salvation is real. I hope and pray there was a time in your life that you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Go back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Again, Jesus Christ is the only way. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's not only our only mediator, he's the only one that everybody will bow to and admit that he's Lord. Again, if you're trusting in anything other than the work of Christ on the cross, you have a fake salvation. I hope and pray that your salvation is authentic, biblically real, biblically genuine. You test your salvation by what the Bible says, not about what a man says, not by what the church creed is or by what the church believes. Just because the church believes in a certain thing does not make it right. I'm going to get to that here in a few minutes. The second thing that I want to give you, first of all, is your salvation authentic or is it fake? Number two, your Bible. Is what you have authentic or fake? The Bible. This book right here. This book that I have in front of me, the book that you have in your lap. Is it an authentic copy of the Word of God? Is it genuine when it comes to the Word of God? There are hundreds of Bibles that say on them somewhere, mine says it right here. See that right there? What's that say? Holy Bible. Okay? There are hundreds of Bibles on the market that have that right there. Holy Bible. It'll be here or be on the front or somewhere. I'll say this in love. It doesn't mean that they're all the Holy Bible. You know what the definition of the Bible, the word Bible, what's Bible mean? It's a collection of books. This is a collection of books, 66 of them. Whatever it is that you have is a collection of books put together. But I would, as a Christian, I would want to make sure that I have the authentic Word of God and not a fake. If you have a Bible that removes the blood of Christ out of Colossians chapter 1, you're close there. Go back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. And again, I don't know what, I know what Bible I have in front of me. I have no clue what you have in front of you. I don't know. You could have anything out there. There's hundreds, literally hundreds of versions out there. And maybe you have one of those other versions out there. That's fine. I would hope and pray that you might learn a little something here from this. But if you have a Bible that removes the blood of Christ from Colossians 1:10, look at what it says in Colossians 1:10. I'm sorry, 1:14. Wrong verse. I got it right here in front of me. 1:14, Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If your Bible doesn't say those exact words, then it's a fake. You can believe that or not. I'm just saying, why remove the blood of Christ from a Bible? If we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, it better be in there. And you take it out one time, it's enough for me that I can't deal with that. I was saved because Jesus shed his blood for me. And for any book, any Bible that would remove that, put it in a footnote or stick it somewhere else on the page or even have it gone completely, then that bothers me. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. If your Bible removes the deity of Christ, that he is God, it's a fake. It's not authentic. If your Bible removes the deity of Christ, you have a fake. I know it might say Holy Bible on it, but it doesn't make it a Holy Bible, does it? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Who's that talking about there? Jesus Christ. That's who it's talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus Christ is God. He always has been God. He always will be God. Christ is God. But if you have a Bible that changes that or changes the meaning of that, then to me it's not an authentic Bible. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Here's another one. Acts 8:37. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. If you have a Bible that removes being saved by believing in Jesus Christ, then you have a fake. You have a fake. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, you know the story. Philip is talking to the Ethiopian there in his chariot. They're reading out of Isaiah chapter 53, and they come to a body of water. Remember, the Ethiopian was in Jerusalem when all these people were getting saved and baptized, and he says, hey, here's some water, Philip. What doth hinder me to be baptized? In verse 36, this is what he says. See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you have a Bible that has removed that verse or stuck it somewhere else on the page, then I believe that that Bible is a fake. It's not real because it's teaching. If Philip says, or the Ethiopian says, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And then it jumps down to verse 38, and he commanded a chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, he baptized him. It's actually teaching what we call baptismal regeneration. You're teaching, the Bible is literally teaching, that you don't have to believe on Jesus Christ in order to be saved. See, these are little subtle things. A word here, pop it out. A verse here, take it out. Change the meaning over here. Just little things around. In 1 John 5, 7, go over to 1 John 5, 7. Are we still all okay here? Amen. 1 John 5, 7. 1 John 5, 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. If you have a Bible that removes the Trinity, you have a fake. Sorry to say that, but you have a fake. If that verse is missing or it's changed to the point where the Trinity is not there, then it's not authentic. If you have a Bible with someone other than David killing Goliath, how many believe that David killed Goliath? Most everybody believes that David killed Goliath. Well, there's some new versions out there that has somebody else killing Goliath. Go over to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel 21. I've always believed that David killed Goliath. It makes it very clear. You read 1 Samuel 17 and, man, David just walloped that guy. I gave a story the other day to the kids in school about this. I love the story. I don't know about you, but I love where a little 17-year-old boy, probably my height or even shorter, I don't know. I was asking some of the kids, hey, you know, what's the tallest person you've ever seen? A couple of them said, me. I'm not that tall. Just some much taller than me. Basketball players are a lot taller than me, but to some of the kids, I guess, you know, they see me all the time. You're tall. But Goliath was as tall from the floor to that vent right there. That's how tall Goliath was. About 9.5 feet tall. That's a big guy. And he wasn't just a tall, skinny guy. The guy was huge. What do you think he weighed? 300, 400, 500 pounds maybe. I don't know what he weighed. I don't know what he ate for dinner, breakfast, and lunch. He almost looks like he probably could have eaten people. I don't know, you know, one of these giants. But he was a very strong individual. And David was no match to Goliath at all without God. But David and God made a majority. And we all know who won. 1 Samuel 17. You don't need to turn there, but just read the chapter. You know exactly who killed Goliath. In 2 Samuel 21 and verse 19, let me see if I have the verse. Yes. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 19. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines where Elhanan, the son of Jeroregim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. So this guy kills the brother of Goliath, but there are some versions that says that this guy actually killed Goliath. Well, that's a contradiction in that other Bible where one passage you have David killing Goliath and another passage you have somebody else killing Goliath. They both can't be right. Somebody's wrong somewhere. And so if you have a Bible that doesn't have David killing Goliath, you have a fake. If you have a Bible that has removed the these and the thous, say, whoa, the these and the thous, I can't deal with those these and thous. They are so easy to understand. A Bible with these and thous and yees and yous, you can understand it better than a Bible without the these, the thous, the thines, and the anything with a th. Simply, the these and the thous is second person singular. I'm speaking to thee, or I'm speaking to ye, the whole church. Ye is plural. Thee is one person. And there are countless examples, and I use them in my little booklet back there, countless examples of that that you can see in Scripture. It makes it so much easier to understand. Oh, thee. Okay, I know who he's talking to, that one person. Now, thee or thou or thine or thy. The ye's and the you's, they're all plural. He's talking to a group of people. He's talking to Jesus, talking to the whole apostles, or he's talking to one person. And so when you go through your Bible and you know that, so many people say, oh, I just can't understand the these and the thous. Well, let me tell you what they mean, and now you can understand them. Now you have no excuse, right? Amen. So if you have a Bible that removes all the these and the thous, to me it's not real. It's not authentic. Now, I haven't even told you what Bible I have in front of me. Did I? Did I tell you what Bible I have? No, I didn't tell you that. I gave you, though, I told you that if you have a Bible that you've removed or these things have been removed or changed or Goliath is being killed by somebody different than David, then that is a fake Bible. I have a copy in front of me, and it's a copy, but I have a copy in front of me that does not remove David from killing Goliath. It does not remove the Trinity. It does not remove the deity of Christ. It does not remove the blood of Christ. It does not remove a verse in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, where now you don't have to believe upon Jesus Christ to be baptized. I have an authentic copy of the Word of God. So is your Bible authentic or is it fake? One more quick thing here, and I'll be done in just a few minutes. Just bear with me. How about the church? Is what you attend and maybe being a member, is that church authentic or is it fake? You say there are fake churches out there? Yeah. There's a lot of fake churches out there. Any church can put a sign out in front and says some blah, 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 church. Right? Seneca Bible Baptist Church, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, you know, you name it. I mean, it can be name a church out there, some kind of a name that differentiates and identifies that place, that the people as a church. There's a lot of churches that have that name church on its sign, but it doesn't make it an authentic church. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus started a church with his apostles, and the apostles carried that on and continued that, starting those early churches in the book of Acts. If the church was not authentic, it wouldn't be here today. Now, I'm talking about what kind of church are you talking? Are you talking just Baptist? No, I'm not talking just Baptist. I'm not claiming that we're the only ones that have the truth. There are good Bible churches. There are good community churches. There are non-denominationals that preach the truth. I have no problem with that. You don't have to be Baptist to go to heaven. There are some people that believe that. I'm not one of those people that believe that you've got to be a Baptist. You've got to be baptized in a Baptist church in order to go to heaven. No, you don't have to be baptized in a Baptist church to go to heaven. You believe upon Jesus Christ to go to heaven. It's not the church. I've been telling you that. You know that. Anyway. But if the church preaches a watered-down gospel, it's a fake. Amen. If the church is not a biblical church, believing the Bible as the Word of God, it's a fake. Again, I'm not saying that we're the only true church. If the church emphasizes more on a feel-good gospel, it's a fake. If the church's music is not biblical, it's a fake. There are many different methods that we can use in spreading the gospel, but the message, the methods can change, methods we can tweak, methods we can do different things with, but the message is to always be the same. The message. The message that Jesus preached, the message that the apostles preached, the message that Paul preached, that's the message that we need to be preaching from a Bible-believing church. That, to me, is an authentic church. If the church does not believe in a real hell, it's a fake. If the preacher can't get up and preach and mention hell in a message, he's a fake. If the church has more than two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, it's all the Bible mentions in the New Testament, two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. If it has more than two ordinances, it's a fake. It's a fake. So, what do you have today? Do you have something authentic? How's your salvation, number one? Salvation. Is it authentic or is it fake? Is there something you got to get right with God this morning? Do you know for sure that if you were to die this afternoon that you would go to heaven? Do you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt? You trusted Jesus Christ, His blood, His way, His plan, not somebody else's, not anything else. Number two, the Bible you have. Is it an authentic copy, a genuine copy of what you believe is the Word of God? And the church that you belong to, is it a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church? Or is it a fake? These are decisions, determinations that we have to make in our life as an individual. A lot of fake things in the world, folks. Let's not let the salvation be fake, our Bible be fake, or our church be fake. Let's make sure it's authentic. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we could gather together this morning. It's been good to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. You know everyone's heart here. You know exactly what